adopted. Tonight we're thinking about adopted, being adopted. I'm quite excited. So as a starter for 10, I'm going to ask you to talk to one another. So my question is this: what are the best characteristics of family? When family works well, what does that look like?
Says Philip.
When it works well, what does that look like? Speak to somebody around you, and I'm going to ask you what you come up with. Okay, everybody. Anybody tell me what your answer to the best characteristics of family? When family works well, what does it look like? Anybody? That question, Tony. The thing we're discussing. Okay. Okay. Unconditional love? Uh-huh. Security? Teamwork? And communication. It's a place to be authentically you. Ooh, the best of you.
Right?
Yeah. Safe haven. Trust. Support. Being known. Where your best friends are. Respect. Being together. No airs and graces. I want to be in this family. This sounds great, doesn't it? Non-grumpiness. Do you see that? Like, I rose above then. I could have commented, but I didn't. Did you see that, everybody? Well done. I'm getting more mature. Go on, what did you say? You were just replying to Sarah. Okay. Anyone else? Loyalty. Oh, yes. Forgiveness. Oh, yes. Fun. I'm glad somebody said fun. Generosity. Trust has been mentioned. You dozed off for that bit. Well done. Good one. Good one to mention twice. Brilliant. Good answers. We could actually go home now because we said everything now. Well done, everybody. Today we're thinking about adoption, about being adopted into the family of God. Now, I wonder what you think about when you hear the word adopted. Some of you, the holy ones amongst you, Gordon, for example, will automatically think of this as a spiritual thing about what God does for us by welcoming us into his family. Some of you might think of this. Ah. Has anyone seen the film Annie? Little orphan Annie, little ginger hair. Curly Orphan Annie. For those of you who don't know, it's a great film. Would make a great sing-along, actually. Tomorrow. It would be great. We need to put that on the list. So whether you've seen Annie, this version, or the new trendy version where it's not a ginger girl, but it's a kind of black rapping girl, it's the story of a little orphan girl who is taken on an adventure. There's lots of kind of slapstick and adventure. And a multimillionaire called Daddy Warbucks adopts her. And they live happily ever after while singing some cheesy songs. Something like that. It's great. So maybe when you hear the word adopted, you think of something like that. Or maybe you think of something like this. I don't know if you're watching Long Lost Family. Oh, I love a bit of Long Lost Family. For those of you who don't know, long-lost family does what it says on the tin. It brings together people who have been adopted and their birth parents. You need gin and tissues to survive one episode of Long Lost Family. It's an emotional roller coaster. Becca and I, we sit and we sob our way. Sorry. So, okay, I sit. You don't have the gin either, just to clarify. Okay, thank you. It's an emotional, maybe that's what you think of when you hear the word adopted. But it's not a value-free word for everybody. Most of you know that I am adopted myself. It's nothing that I'm ashamed of. But some people find this a hard word because it comes with a backstory for most people. I am adopted. I was given away as a baby. And so this story of what God has done for us is ever so more powerful because I know what this word means. I first learned what family means, those things that we discussed, not from the family that adopted me. Some of you will know that's a little precarious, but from the other family who adopted me. And that was the congregation of Headingley St. Columba's United Reformed Church, who, as I walked up the road to church by myself as a child, grandparented me, gave me pocket money every week, get in there, who prayed for me, who checked up on me, old people, Mr. Grant, who every week gave me a packet of polos, every week. Now that might sound silly, but I remember that. And I'm 45 years old, because that love that was sown into my life as a small child from the people of God made me who I am. Unconditional love and family, but not from people who were related to me by blood. Adoption is powerful. The proper definition of adopt is to take on the legal responsibilities as a parent of a child that is not one's biological child. I put that in brackets because some people adopt pets. So, or a donkey. I adopted a donkey. Very exciting. So, to take on legally a child that does not biologically relate to you. Dan, the lovely Dan, the other day reminded me that it's nearly Christmas. It is 15 weeks, he told me. We need to start planning, he said. As we all know, Dan gets very excited about the festive season. Be prepared, Vanessa and Peter. It's going to be interesting. So I thought I'd show a little bit of a clip of a Christmas movie. There is a point. Too early. Too early? We shall see. We shall see. So this is a story of adoption and identity. Someone is taken on and treated like family. A child in an orphanage sneaks into Santa's sack and is reared by elves. It's the film Elf. And in a way, it's all about identity. It's all about who you are when you don't know your early beginnings and how you know who you are and where your identity lies that gives you confidence and security. So we're going to watch the bit, it's only a very short little bit, where Buddy, who thinks he's an elf, finds out that actually he's not an elf, he's a human, because he's 6'3". We'll see. Part of the role of family is to give us identity. We have a security in knowing who we are and where we come from. And that's why so many people who are adopted find in early life real struggle, because they don't know who they are and where they come from. From films and Hollywood to people and long-lost families, there are lots of backstories of adoption. And throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we're given this story, this backstory of a God who is chasing after his people. Of a God who longs for children to enter into a relationship of intimacy with him as Father God. We get this picture of a God going, "Hello! Here I am. It is me who raised you right from the beginning. Acknowledge me, be in relationship with me," right from the beginning of the story of the children of Israel all the way to the New Testament. For example, in Numbers, "So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." That's about identity. That's all about who you are and whose name you bear. In God, in Jesus, we find out who we are, our identity, not in what the world labels us as, not in what other people tell us we are, but in what God says about us. Adoption into God's family gives us a new identity based on what God says. Do you know who you are? Not on your surname, but on the name that God says about you. There's loads about adoption in Romans. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves. We're going to be singing about that in a bit. So that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, "Abba, Father." Nearly all the New Testament passages that talk about adoption to sonship. Let me just explain for those of women who are going, "What about the daughters? What about the daughters? This is not fair." It's terms of a cultural time. In the time that these passages were written in the New Testament, us women, we couldn't inherit anything. Sorry. We couldn't. We couldn't. Only male heirs could inherit finance and property. So when it says we're brought from adoption to sonship, it's a cultural term of its day, but it doesn't exclude us. It means us as well. It means daughters. It means sons. Because also we hear in the New Testament, it says there is no longer male or female, no longer slave or free. This means us. So don't let that be a stumbling block. Another Romans passage, Galatians. In the same way also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive, again, adoption to sons and daughters. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the spirit of his son, Jesus, into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you're no longer a slave. Hurrah! but you're a son or daughter. And if you're a son, then an heir through God. This is good news, isn't it? Isn't this good news? And Ephesians chapter 1, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished upon us. The themes are the themes we've been thinking about the last few weeks. We've started talking about the love of God for us. Last week, we talked about the grace of God. Tonight, we're talking about adoption, what God does for us. Can you see a theme emerging here? This is what God has done for us. And we heard that, you know, it was predestined. It was meant to be. It was being adopted is God's plan all along for us. In love, we're told. In love, he predestines. He marks us out beforehand to make us his family. He changes our identity to match his. Isn't that good news? That's astonishing, isn't it? In biblical times, as in ours, adoption changes your legal status. You legally become a new member of your new family. You become equal in status, an equal heir, along with all the other blood siblings. There is no difference anymore between you. And that is the same for us when we are taken on into God's family. We are blood relations. Jesus' blood on the cross saves us and creates the way for us to become family. We become, in a way, blood relations through the blood and the spirit of Jesus. In our spiritual adoption, just like in our earthly adoption, it's the act of God bringing into his family those who are not naturally or legally his and changing their status. We're told that Jesus was the only begotten Son of the Father. And because he's the only begotten Son, the one child, we're spiritual orphans until we're adopted. We're taken on and almost given equal status. We need to meet with God and be adopted. God changes who we are. God meets with us and says, "You are now mine. You're mine," he says. We're no longer on the outside, no longer unwanted or far away from family, because God calls us in and gives us a seat at the table and a place to call home. I ask you to think about all the things that you thought were characteristics of a good family when everything should be as it should be. So I did the same exercise beforehand, thinking, I wonder if we'll come up with a similar list. And I guess mine comes from the perspective of being an adopted person. But there's pretty much what we said earlier. I think good families look like this. And this is what family in Jesus and God looks like. A place where you are loved unconditionally. Yes? Thank you, Debbie, for nodding. A place where you're given the freedom to fail as well as thrive. Anybody mess up in their family? Thank you, Rob.
Rob, give you me.
In a good family, the past is redeemed and the present is actively redeemable. Okay? What's happened is redeemed. What's happening is also now is redeemable because we love one another. You turn from being not wanted, this is more me perhaps than you, to being wanted. You have space to grow, to learn and to work out who you are, your identity within your new identity. And Tony mentioned that earlier on. You're giving security and home. And all of that is the same for us within the family of God. All of that is true, both in an earthly sense, but much more so in a spiritual sense. All of that in being adopted by human parents. But we need to recognize that even the best human parents mess up. Isn't that true, Rebecca? But we are adopted, sorry, Rebecca. We are adopted into God's family and we're called his children. And the amazing thing, which blows my mind, is that we're given all that Jesus, the Son, is given when we are adopted. God gives us the full rights and privileges of being his children. He gives us what he gives Jesus. God calls you his child. The one who threw the stars into space, the one who created the world, calls you his child. And I find that still astonishing, that God would love me so much. Not only does he like me, not only does he love me, but he calls me his child. Adoption into the family of God means that we're able to talk to God and relate to him as a good and loving father. He's not remote, he's not uncaring, but he is up close and intimate and personal. And don't take that for granted. Not everybody's had a great example of parenting. We are parented by the perfect parent, by the one who does not mess up, by the one whose love is unconditional. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, says 1 John 3:1, that we should be called the children of God. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He is the perfect father. You may have had a bad example, or a mediocre example, or a fantastic example of human fathering or parenting, but it is not comparable to the example we find in God the Father, who is completely trustworthy, who never gives up, whose love endures forever, who forgives our sins. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name, Do you remember? It's all about name and the identity that we're given. And the name we're given is based on our new family surname, Christian. About what God does, about who God is. It's all good news tonight. It's all good. Because we're adopted, we're able to have a relationship with God as Father. Because we're adopted, we're led by the Holy Spirit. Most of our readings from Romans mention the Holy Spirit. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, that delicious little name that means dad, daddy. The Spirit enables us to have a family intimacy with God the Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We're given an inheritance and an identity based on God. It's good news. Because we're adopted, we can know God as Father. Because we're adopted, we're led by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because we're adopted, we can relate to other believers as members of our family. Look around. Now, families are weird, aren't they? In every family, there's an odd uncle. I wonder who the odd uncle here is tonight. There's an eccentric aunt. There are loud sisters. I'm looking at Laura. No pointing. There are annoying brothers. But suck it up, because they're family. Tough, Laura. Look around you. Because we are adopted, we are family. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. Everybody sing. We're family because of what God has done for us. And you might think that's fantastic, but looking around you, you might think, oh, crumbs. It is what we have. And those things that we do as a family, all those things at the beginning that we talked about, of loyalty and of trust and of unconditional love, we're to do that too, everybody. In 1 Timothy, it says this about being family together. Do not rebuke an older man, Paul, but encourage him. Let's all encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers. Peter. Older women, I'm not going there, as mothers. Younger women as sisters in all purity. Because we are adopted into God and into his family, we get a whole new bunch of family members. Yay! Why don't you look excited by that revelation? Thank you, Tony. Deep in my soul, I'm excited. In case you have forgotten since you were told last week, you are a precious child of God. God wants you. God loves you, and there is the offer to be adopted into his family when you say yes to the work of Jesus' blood and what he does on the cross. I'd like to end our story of adoption with a story by the American writer, preacher, Tony Campolo. Dan's already stolen half the stories I wanted to tell tonight, a couple of weeks back. But one he hasn't told yet is this. It's about a couple who could not have children naturally. And so they went through the long process of adopting. And they adopted a 10-year-old boy. And the couple proceeded to prepare a bedroom for this 10-year-old boy. They put up wallpaper that had footballs and basketballs and baseballs on it. They filled his bedroom with everything a young boy would want. So when the day of the adoption came, the couple go to meet their social worker and their new son. And he's shown this bedroom and he was overcome with everything that was now his. All beyond his wildest imagination. But the new parents began to see that he wasn't actually very happy with it. As a matter of fact, they began to sense some negative vibes. And they said, "Is anything wrong?" And the boy answered, "You're giving me all this stuff. All of this is my bedroom. You tell me I get to live here, and all of this is mine to keep. But what I want to know is, what do I have to do to get this stuff? What do you expect from me in order that I can keep this stuff and have a great room?" And the parents, somewhat taken aback by this question, answer, "Well, you don't have to do anything. All we want is for you to love us back. We already love you. We want you to love us back. That's it. There's nothing more to it than that. All of this is yours simply because we love you and want you to love us in return." And so it is with our back story of love with God. The bigger salvation story. God has given us salvation as a gift. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to prove that we deserve it. All God wants is our love. And that's what God does for us. He chooses us to be his family. Jesus, the only begotten Son, earns that right for us. The Spirit assures our hearts that we are children of God. Our Father's provision for us fully provides all that we could need or want. We are children of God. Thank you, Tony. Can I invite the band back up? We're going to sing a song I have requested. It's not by Take That. It's one of these weeks, though, I'm going to say, can we sing Relight My Fire? No, we're going to sing No Longer Slaves. Again and again, this song reminds us of our identity. I am a child of God. There's a line in this song every time I go, yee! And it goes, "From my mother's womb, you have chosen me." Now that means something special to me as an adopted person, but it should mean something special to every single one of us. That when we were just an egg and a sperm, when we were just not known by our human parents, you were chosen and marked out and named and known. And love calls us to him. Now, you might have had the worst or the best parents in the world or something in between, but we are called to the perfect parents whose love for us never ends, whose love is unconditional, who breaks fear, who sets us free. So tonight, as we're worshiping, as we're singing this song, and whatever song comes next, I want you in worship to reclaim your identity. You are a child of God. You've been given a new name, a new purpose, a new significance. You are a child of God. You have been chosen to be adopted. You're known, you are named, you are wanted. Give your father the love that he deserves tonight. Let's work.